You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It's time to talk sports as we say hello to Michigan Radio sports commentator John Eubakin. And we get to look back over 2017 for your take on some of the top stories in sports in our state. And I think we probably should know 2017 kind of began with the passing of Mike Ilitch in February. What a name as far as sports teams.
You can think of a few guys in Detroit who are more important to Detroit sports in the last century than Mike Ilitch.
Yeah,
based on both, of course, the Tigers as well as the Red Wings.
Yep, we remember he bought the Red Wings from Bruce Norris in 1982 for, what, $8 million?
Chump change.
Yeah, that
won't buy you a forward now, by the way.
I'll tell you what. And then he bought the Tigers in 1992 from Tom Monahan, one pizza magnate to another. What did his ownership style and his deep pockets mean for both teams?
I'd give him an A-plus for three reasons. One, never played any games about moving the Tigers or the Red Wings out of Detroit when they're building new stadiums. So he was wonderful for Detroit, I think. Two, he's committed to excellence. He wanted the teams to win, not just, you know, make their money. And, of course, the Red Wings won four Stanley Cups under him and got to two World Series with the Tigers, never quite finished the job.
But, and I know they wanted to.
Exactly. And the third thing is he knew his role as an owner. You did not see him on the sidelines. You didn't see him mugging up for the camera. He had what I would call sports maturity. An Ilitch family phrase, actually, and he knew how to handle himself as an owner.
He stayed up in that owner's box. And
as you're supposed to.
You didn't see him.
He wasn't Jerry Jones. That's the point.
So. There you go. Well, 2017 brought the Red Wings a shiny new home with Little Caesars Arena, but performance-wise, how would you characterize this year for them?
Mediocre, as kind of expected, and they have no identity, no style that I can see. This is my complaint last year, of course, and it's not gotten better. And they are staying away in droves, as the phrase goes. So despite the new fancy stadium, the new arena, they are not filling that place or anywhere near it.
Who do you think is going to take the hit if this team does not make the playoffs again? I mean, they broke the cycle. They broke
right.
They broke the string of playoff appearances this year. Almost got that off their back. If they're not in next year, what do you see?
Well, Blashill for sure is gone. He's the head coach, Jeff Blashill. And that surprised me because I thought he's going to be very good, as I predicted here, and I was clearly wrong on that. Mm-hmm. He does not seem to have the team going his direction. They're not particularly tough, not particularly hardworking. They're okay at all these things. They're not lazy. There's no sense of urgency out there that I can see.
We see these where they're in the lead, and then at the end of the third, the other team equalizes and then wins in overtime. And
that's called blocking and tackling, man.
Oh,
that's
man.
Finishing your checks. It's getting the puck in deep. It's basic fundamental. How to win a game. And this team has not got it, sadly. So I think Blashill is probably his days are numbered.
There's a lot of howling on social media about Ken Holland as well and bringing Steve Yzerman in that post.
Yeah, and don't confuse playing hockey with being a general manager of it or coaching it. They're not the same things. Yzerman, God bless him, you know, Mr. Captain the whole bit. And, you know, he has been good at Tampa Bay and he's done a good job elsewhere. So maybe he can pull this thing off. But you don't know. Ken Holland, we do know, has put in 25 years that has been glorious. Now, it's not been a great 3 or 4 years, mm-hmm. so perhaps the clock is finally ticking on his account. But I still tend to be patient with him.
And then when we think of the Tigers, so many marquee names have been traded away. Well, just like Justin Verlander, who, as you say, nobody was ever happier to be a former Tiger as he goes on to help Houston get to and win the World Series. Is all of that going to pay off, do you think, in rebuilding for the future?
Nope.
Why?
I don't think Avila knows what he's doing. He's the general manager, and I am not impressed by his moves so far. They've not done a good job on almost any front that I can see, and I think Tiger fans are headed for 3 or 4 years of mediocrity.
And it sounds like you think a house cleaning's in order?
It is, but it hasn't happened yet, and Avila would not be the guy I'd pick in the first place, so I'm not sure who's making the calls there.
Let's talk about the Lions. How would you describe 2017 for the Lions?
Still more mediocrity.
We're hearing a theme here.
If you like mediocrity, and I mean really like it, Motown's the place for you.
Why? What's not working for them?
Caldwell, the coach. He's a mediocre coach. I said it before. I'll say it again. I was wrong about one of these guys, Blashill, and everyone else we've been right about. Caldwell's a mediocre coach. He's a deer in the headlights. He's not calling any plays. I don't know what he does in the sidelines. And they are a mediocre team. Now, they're also missing a few players. They're 8-6 right now. They've got to win the last two games. They could still make the playoffs. It's possible. About 25% chance or so. But it's an average team.
Is Matthew Stafford the guy to be able to take them further?
He is not quite an elite quarterback, but he's a very good quarterback. He is the highest paid man in the NFL.
He's a well-paid quarterback.
Crazy, frankly. So, you know, $100 million plus to do what he's doing. That's a more cosmic question. Nobody in the world's worth that. I don't care what you're doing. and certainly not an average, you know, above average quarterback. He's good. He's not great.
The Pistons also got a new home at Little Caesars Arena. How do you feel they fared in 2017?
Incredibly. Of all the teams, I thought might have some good news. I'd rank these guys pretty low on the list. And Stan Van Gundy, one heck of a coach. They're above average. They got a shot at a playoff, a real shot at a playoff spot. They're playing tough, intelligent, defensive basketball. This is the one team out of the four that's got an identity, and you don't want to play them. They're not immensely talented, but they're tough.
Over to college football, one of, of course, the big college sports stories of the state in 2017 happened in East Lansing under Mark D'Antonio.
What did we say last year?
Go ahead.
And this is both of us.
Yeah.
We'll share this
okay.
one. At 3-9 last year, the sky's falling. Of course, everything's horrendous. And it's, you know, we said D'Antonio has not forgotten how to coach. I thought they'd be 8-4 this year. They're 9-3, even better. Mm-hmm. And the one thing we said is they've got to stay out of the papers. They had serious issues that are still running through the courts as we speak.
Yeah.
Sexual assault. This is not football we're joking about here. This is serious business. That's a whole different level. But the players, near as I can figure, have stayed out of trouble this year. And they're 9-3, and they're playing serious football again. So hats off to him.
And they're going to the Holiday Bowl December 28th against number 18 Washington State. Predictions?
Always hard to handicap these things. You don't play each other. But I'd say they've got as good a chance as Washington State does, probably better.
Over to Michigan, where once again they did not beat Michigan State. They did not beat Ohio State. Wolverines are 1-5 against those arch rivals under Jim Harbaugh. Your thoughts on the Wolverines?
They're one quarterback away from winning a bunch of games. The quarterback cost them Michigan State and cost them Ohio State, plain and simple. And God bless General Korn, nice guy, and you hate to ever be critical of college athletes, at least I do. But that was the difference, and if you're starting quarterbacks out, that's what happens.
Now, former Ole Miss quarterback Shea Patterson says he's transferring to U of M. Is that nailed down, or are there still some questions because he's not a senior?
The NCAA is making up rules as we speak, so we have no idea what's going to happen. It's impossible to predict what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. If he does slot in, Shea Patterson makes you a competitive team overnight.
Couple big sports stories that are not the one that, as you alluded to, not such a happy story was really the whole issue with former MSU sports doctor Larry Nassar pleading guilty to sexually assaulting young athletes in his care, sentenced to 60 years on federal child pornography charges. What's been in your mind as you've watched this unfold as a sports writer and as a parent?
Who was watching the shop? And look, I mean, we've got well over 100 victims have come forward. And these are smart, intelligent women who have clearly have complete credibility, near as I can figure, and all this stuff. And you got more than 100 is pretty damning. And how does that happen for decades, literally for decades? These women are now in their 20s and 30s, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Show me a system where this can go on for decades and no one throws a flag. And why, frankly, why the president still has her job is a mystery to me.
How do you think this compares with Penn State and
it's worse.
Sandusky?
It is absolutely worse than Sandusky. And Sandusky was horrific. Mm-hmm. And I told you before, I've been in that Center County courtroom. I saw 10 victims then in their 30s. They're 12 or 13 at the time. And you see these men with wives and jobs and kids break down before you and become 12-year-old victims. And it is horrifying. And what these women are going through by a factor of 10, more than victims that we've counted than Sandusky's. How is this not getting any national attention? How is it not resulting in serious reform? I don't know.
Well, the sentencing in Ingham and Eaton counties will be happening early next month. Victims will get their chance to make statements, so that'll be something to keep our eye on.
And let me say this also. The victims have spoken, have been such clear-eyed, strong voices for what they went through, what should have happened, what they warned people about, and were not listened to. These are very impressive women who deserve our attention.
Let's end on a happy note. Two heroes of the Tigers' 84 World Series win make it to the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Let's get a little good news here.
Yes.
Yes. And, of course, Jack Morris, star pitcher in the 80s for the Tigers, as well as Alan Trammell, who never played for any other team other than the Tigers. And that was one of his goals, was to be like Al Kaline, only play for the Tigers. Both great competitors. Alan Trammell, one of my favorite individuals. I talked to him after his last game, October 1 of 1996, I think it was, and he didn't know me. I'm not a beat reporter. I'm with the Detroit News. We talked for half an hour, for 45 minutes, and he didn't owe me anything. This guy is one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. It's great to see, for once, there we go, Cindy Canty.
Yes.
The nice guy did not finish last. He finished first and in the Hall of Fame. Hats off, Alan Trammell.
Oh, yeah, we will say a lot of fans were kind of disappointed that Lou Whitaker didn't make it in.
It hasn't got the numbers. Trammell took many years to get in, so did Morris. They were not... They're borderline candidates at best for many years. So Whitaker's not going to get there. He should get his number retired along with Trammell, says me.
All right, John Eubacon. Happy, happy holidays. Thanks for a year's worth of fun sports talk.
A lot of fun. Thank you.